inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Hi, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio brings you a platform unlike anything on the internet today. A place where voices are heard, ideas are shared, and friendships are formed. So why not join the information revolution at freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Tired of what the mainstream news tells you or how the politicians are trying to take away America's freedoms? Ready for a change? Join the master of provocative insight, Dwight Lilly. He will take us
down a rabbit hole.
But no need to worry. He will lead us through the maze of half-lies and fake news to the light at the end of the tunnel. Knowledge is power, and ignorance is a ticket to slavery. Join Dwight as he tries to help bring knowledge to the public that will crack down on the ever-increasing dissent in the world today.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here for another go at the show. Been on vacation for a week. And before I get into that, I want to remind the listeners that Revolution Radio is a listener-supported radio network. We depend upon donations to keep the lights on here. So please hit the donate button at freedomslips.com and give generously to Revolution Radio. You can also become a Patreon supporter. The instructions are right there. That's what I did. Or you can visit our storefront and check out the items for sale, the coffee mugs, the t-shirts, whatever else we have in there. All proceeds go to keep Revolution Radio afloat. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, I've been on vacation. And, you know, I was thinking as I was experiencing this past week and in the past, how we sit in our own little bubbles at home and we read newspapers, magazines, we watch television programs, we watch news programs, we listen to those around us giving their opinions and kind of come to an idea of what reality is like in our country, in our state, in our town, in our village, in our wherever you're at in the world out there. You get your ideas about what reality is from what you read and see around you. However, you really get an idea of how things are if you step away from your normal everyday life and do as I did, not only go on vacation, no, I didn't hang around the house here. I got on an airplane and flew up into the Pacific Northwest of the United States to my old hometown. Well, actually, I had to fly into the Seattle Tacoma International Airport, and then I had a rental car, which I took down there. But anyway, Let me begin here. Okay, you've seen the news about the fires that we are having in California, Oregon, Washington State, the West Coast. You know, it's a yearly fire season in that part of the world. And I know there's other parts of the world that have their fire seasons. If you happen to be in Australia or Europe or Asia, you know, you have your Africa, you have your fire seasons too. Now, of course, my fire season is in particular related to what's going on the West Coast of the United States, because I live just one state in Nevada. But we get the smoke from the California fires. So one of the benefits, and I was hoping I would get, and I did get, of leaving this area for a week, was to get away from the darn smoke, which just aggravates you. You cough, you sputter, you sneeze, your eyes burn. You can taste it in your mouth and breathe. Did I mention that? It affects many people's breathing to have to breathe in a high level of smoke and particulates. So that was one experience, was when I landed at Seattle, there was just a little bit of sort of on the horizon where you could see some smoke. It wasn't clear. I could not see the brilliant Mount Rainier sitting off to the southeast. It is depicted on postcards and people's views of what Washington State is like. You couldn't see it. It was covered with smoke. I mean, well, the visibility was such you couldn't see it. But that cleared off overnight, and I woke up. I flew in on Tuesday night, and I woke up at my daughter's house Wednesday morning early, and it was blue sky and beautiful weather. Picture card, beautiful. But the trip to get to Seattle was an absolute nightmare. I arrived at the airport due to, you know, Homeland Security. I had to get there several hours before the flight because you don't know what's going to happen. You're going through security and all of that. Thankfully, I got through security all right without too many, too much harassment on the hands of the Homeland Security, which they're just doing their job, checking you, double checking you, all of your luggage. But it was wearing the mask, wearing that darn face mask. Now, I only wear a face mask when I'm home, when I happen to go to a building that requires me to wear one. And so I tend to stay away from. And I've mentioned that on this show in the past, that if you have a business that wants my business, you better not require me to jump through any face mask hoops, especially if you're a retail business, because my fingers do the walking through the Amazon and eBay yellow pages. I buy stuff online. I even buy groceries online. And I'm not going to go be subjected to abuse of wearing a mask for basically one simple reason. I have the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I bought the bill of goods. I was not going to have to jump through any more hoops. It would give me the immunity I needed. I trust that vaccine. I have not been sick with the COVID-19, and therefore, I'm not wearing a mask. You say, well, Dwight, that's awful selfish of you. What if you're a carrier and pass out? You know what I think about that? The people that have to fear me without a mask on are those that did not get vaccinated. It's that simple. And there's a high percentage of those that live in my area that have not been vaccinated. I'm not jumping through hoops for people that could go down and within 15 minutes be vaccinated. You can object all you want. You can say I'm keeping you from living your life. I don't care what you say. I did my part, and I'm not going to wear a mask. I have taken the exception. There is exceptions. One, I was not going to be able to get on an airplane or be in that airport without a mask on. And two, I have my old farts breakfast on Wednesday mornings. That they went back to making us wear masks in the casino because it's regulated by the state of Nevada as a gaming institution. So they are required to have face masks. I wear the mask in the front door as rapidly as I can. I traverse the casino area, which is not that very large, enter into the restaurant, head for our table that we have, and take my mask off. And I don't wear it again for the 2.5 hours that we're sitting there talking to each other until I get up to go pay my bill. That only takes a couple of minutes. I'm out of there, and that is the extent of my wearing a face mask. And that all changed last week when I got to that airport. From the moment I entered the door of the airport until I exited the airport in Seattle, some hours later, I had that darn face mask on. Other than a few times I could pull it down and take a drink of water or so forth. But basically, that was a horrible experience. I had trouble wearing it. I have trouble breathing with them on. I'm not the only one that does this. So that was an experience that, although we read all about it, face mask arguments going back and forth. Well, you know, I'm not going to have my kid wear a face mask at school, you know, or I'm going to go down and protest the school board. It's not until you actually are forced into wearing the mask that you can see the abuse that your children are going through or those required to wear the mask. It's a horrible thing. It's one thing to have to wear it for just a couple of minutes. God forbid being the waitress in the restaurant or one of the other employees that has to wear it the whole time that they're there. I frankly would not do it. I couldn't do it. I would refuse to work there. Now, that's easy said for me because I don't have to work. I'm retired. But, and I realize those of you that are listening to this, you know, you're not in that position. I would highly recommend as fast as you can. And it didn't take COVID-19 for me to bring this recommendation about. Become self-employed. Self-actualized. Get away from being a slave to some business and their requirement. Okay, so anyway, up in my hometown of Olympia, which is the state of Washington's capital city, there is a road, 4-lane, 5-lane, whatever it is, with a center lane, I guess it's 5-lane, a road, boulevard, that goes from the port, basically goes from about the port of Olympia, because Olympia has a seaport. It would be going, let's see, what direction would that be? Basically about a south-southeast direction through Olympia, right through the core downtown area, and going out to another town called Tumwater, and then all out. That is Capitol Way. And it goes right in front of the Capitol. Well, my one daughter that lives there happens to live right on Capitol Way. You look out her main window from the second floor, and you got the brilliant Capitol Dome right there facing you. Beautiful. Beautiful postcard-like city. Well, on Saturday, a week ago, Saturday, we went to the public market. My two daughters, my one son-in-law, and I drove down to the public market, which is at the other end, at the port of Olympia. That area down there, right basically on the wharf down there, is a huge, and I mean huge, public market. The best one I've ever been in. Farmers market, handmade goods, and so forth. My God, they had peaches down there the size of softballs. But anyway, when we were coming back from the public market and going to the public market, we went past a demonstration, a face mask demonstration of thousands of people on both sides of Capitol Way, on up into the Capitol grounds, and saw the signs, the flags, cars honking, cars with signs, flags waving, and we went way through it on both directions. So then again, I have seen the face mask demonstrations on TV and read about them, but I was in the middle of one. And the next day, I drove up to my other daughter's house, which is in a suburb of Seattle, and on an overpass not too far from the Joint Base Lewis-McChord, whatever it's called now, Fort Lewis-McChord Air Force Base. I think it's called Joint Base, something or other up there anyway. On an overpass were, again, masked protesters with flags waving them as at the cars going on the freeway, both directions, on Interstate 5, and banners and so forth, protesting masks. So the protests are out there. People are fed up. People are fed up with COVID-19. They're fed up with the new COVID-19 that we're experiencing in this country. And then I see another one, MU, I think it is. Another variant of COVID that is being reported. We know that viruses mutate. So I guess we've got another one coming down the pipe. The Delta one is the one that's taken over. It's over 90% of the cases are Delta. And the deaths this past week in the United States exceeded the deaths last year in President Trump's last year in office for this last week. I believe it was around 1,500 a day in the United States, but don't quote me on that. So there are a lot of people dying from the virus. Just like we have a lot of people die from the flu virus and other things that come down the pike. This is going to be probably a yearly problem here in the United States and elsewhere in the world. I am now hearing that they may require 3 vaccines a year to ensure that the immune systems are handling the vaccine, the virus. So we'll see how that goes down the line. It doesn't take that much to get a vaccine. It really doesn't. Especially if they're going to be provided by the governments, the states, and the provinces, and territories and so forth. It's a matter of walking in and showing your identification, and they jab you in the arm, and you're off taking care of business. Now, sure, there might be some few side effects. But, you know, we put up with a lot of side effects in our life. That smoke was a side effect I've had to put up with. So those are a couple of incidences where I was pulled out of my reality by going on vacation. So I had to experience what real face mask brutality is, having to wear it forever. And I experienced the same thing coming home. I had that darn face mask on. From the time I entered Seattle-Tacoma International Airport until I exited the terminal at Las Vegas to be picked up. Now, smoke. That's a third item. I mentioned it, but when you hear about smoke, how bad it is. When the airplane took off from Las Vegas to go to Seattle, we must have climbed through 20,000 feet before we were above the smoke. It was that much smoke. I mean, it was thick smoke coming from the west. And so that was another experience of seeing that. Now, the fourth experience of what I'm going to get into here today has to do with Joe Biden. And you guys have probably heard enough Joe Biden stories to last a lifetime, but you're going to get Dwight Lilly's perspective from down the rabbit hole on this this event, this 7-month odyssey we've been on with his presidency. And it has been an absolute fiasco. Now, this approval number had been released today, and it says that President Joe Biden's job approval number dropped to a new low after he lost the majority of independent voters over the botched U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan that turned deadly, according to the latest NPR and PBS NewsHour Marist poll. Now, those are two liberal left-wing organizations. They call themselves media, but they're really propagandists. So when they have numbers coming out of their polls, because I've said all along that I believe polls are somewhat, the way you ask a question to somebody and who your demographic is will determine the outcome of your poll. And I've often said that the polling is a rigged system and isn't entirely accurate. And we've seen this in elections. Remember the Hillary Clinton poll that she was going to slaughter Donald Trump? Well, that didn't come into play, did it? So no, because it was all the polls were lying. But that being it, you would know that their poll at NPR and PBS would have done its best in the way questions were written and asked, and who they were asked to give a favorable polling to Joe Biden and the Democrat. Well, and so this is going to be the best scenario. And I would say that the polling numbers that are going to be listed here, as far as his approval, are higher than what they actually are. Because even the Democrats have ran for cover. Even members of Congress, the Democrats, have ran for cover. Even people that are staunch Democrats locally here that I normally see on Facebook or other social media, they're not really waving their hands and reaching out like they were a few weeks ago. They're not really making comments. I usually get some comments from them on some of my posts on Facebook. No, they've gone to cover because they know, and everybody knows that's honest, that this presidency has been a complete farce. From the point of Joe Biden running for office, here's a guy that spent 40 years as a U.S. senator and 8 years as a vice president. He never really did anything. He's not known for anything. He's known for being the old white man that Barack Obama chose as his running mate to kind of give him an edge in some of the voting areas. But he never was an accomplished person with any ideas or anything. Now, if I was to tell you what a live mic opinion of Joe Biden was by his boss of 8 years, Barack Obama, I didn't hear this live mic, but this was reported from several sites. So I'm going to say this is what was reported. That Barack Obama said, he said Joe Biden could, and it's the F word, the four-letter F word, anything that you gave him. That was the opinion of former President Barack Obama. And it could explain why Obama took so long in endorsing Joe Biden for president. Remember, he didn't just come right out and endorse Joe Biden. No. I think he was waiting in hope that somebody else would rise to the occasion. And when they didn't, I mean, what else is he going to do? He's the head of the Democrat Party as a former president. He had to endorse the party candidate, but it had to have been begrudgingly because Barack Obama is not a stupid man. I don't agree with a lot of his policies, and maybe some of you don't either, or maybe you do agree with him. But he's going to give you a fair assessment, I believe, on something as critical as a performance that he witnessed of his vice president, especially when that vice president's running for president of the United States. And he's a complete cluster F, is what Joe Biden did. A complete cluster F. So anyway, here's the polling. Only 43% of the respondents gave Biden an approval rating, with the majority, 51%, saying they disapprove, and of the job he is doing as president. This is compared to the same poll from August that found the president was 49% approval. So he has lost 16 percentage points is what I'm looking at. 16 percentage point swing there. The major blow to the president's approval appears to be from those who identify as independents. Only 36% of independents approve of Biden, which is down 10% from the last poll. Now, let me put this in perspective. Here in Nevada, which voted for Biden, a poll came out about a week ago that we have the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. This was the first time that the polling came out and said that those who registered as nonpartisan or minority party for the first time exceeded the numbers of registered voters of even the two major parties. So there are a lot of independent voters out there in America, and it has long been said that they are what determines the election. And Joe Biden, like Donald Trump, like Barack Obama, like George W. Bush, in President's form, all were put into office by the independents who voted, who leaned their way rather than the other way. And so when you have lost down to only 36% approval rating of independents, you will not win an election going forward. And if these numbers are triangulated to the Democrat Party, they have a serious problem on their hands going forward these next 3.5 years. So we'll be right back after the break. Hold on to your seats. I got a lot more to share with you.
This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love. On Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here for the second half hour of the show today on Journey Down the Rabbit Hole. On that poll I was discussing before the break there, 71% of independents disapprove of Biden's handling of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, while only a small percentage of Democrats, 26%, say the same. Now, I don't know how a Democrat could come up to the conclusion that leaving Americans behind in Afghanistan, abandoning $89 billion worth of high-tech, state-of-the-art military weapons and equipment could be considered a success, or the killing of people at the airport, the surrendering of the massive air base that we had there, and withdrawing troops before you'd withdrawn the friendlies. There's 10,000 plus Afghans right now that could get executed by the Taliban. But I guess it's the Democrats just look at things differently than the rest of the world does, the majority of them anyway. And so, just take that with a grain of salt when you go to the polls here in the United States, or maybe the same holds true in other countries out there, that those that are the far left liberals just don't care about normal things like the rest of us do. But to me, it was, what I was witnessing was a revelation coming true, kind of like a biblical revelation on the Old Testament, where they came true in the New Testament, that I had formed this opinion, as well as a lot of people had, of Joe Biden's ineptness, his his incompetency, and what type of a person he was, that it was not matching what the public overall had thought of him. They thought of him as a person that had a lot of empathy for their fellow man, that was on top of things, that was the adult in the room. That's how he compared himself with Donald Trump. And if Joe Biden considers himself an adult, when it is compared to any adult, is laughable at this stage. He is a decrepit, mumbling, mentally challenged person that has basically little, if any, real empathy or character. and that has played out for the world to see. Now, let me list some items here that have come to bear in driving the American people and the world to getting a more clear picture of who President Joe Biden is. Not the propaganda picture painted by the media, but who he really is. We have 130 retired generals, admirals, that have demanded the resignations from General Miller and Secretary of Defense Austin over the Afghanistan disaster. Both of those people put in place in power by Joe Biden. Now you could say, well, Joe didn't really pick anybody. And I would agree with that. I don't think Joe Biden is mentally capable of picking and choosing anything like that, but that his handlers, and I'm going to get into that in a little while, Joe Biden is being handled like a puppet. And I've mentioned puppets, you know, pulling strings before on his show, but this is a very clear case where what you're seeing before you is the actions of a man that's totally 100% controlled. The problem is the people controlling him can't, in many cases, decide what they really want to do. You got the far left controller, and then you got the moderate controller. And the far left has wins more than it seems to lose in how they're going to march this puppet around. Let's go on to another item. We did not want him anywhere near U.S. Gold Star families who were venting fury after Joe Biden disgraced the coffin-bearing men and women that were killed in the suicide bombing in Afghanistan. A Marine who spoke out about Afghanistan withdrawal, he says he expects the Biden cartel there to have him arrested because he spoke out. 20,000 Afghan refugees live at 8 military bases across the U.S., is what General Miley is now saying. And we have no report of any of them being vaccinated for COVID-19, just like the border catastrophe that we have at the south border, where tens of thousands of illegals have come into our country. They haven't been vaccinated either. So you and I are subjected to face masks and vaccinations as if we're criminals, but these people are not getting vaccinated. The Wall Street Journal editorial board, they went after Biden this week for his quote, dishonest, defiant, and accusatory defense of his Afghanistan withdrawal. Another report that came out this week, the Biden administration erased the Afghan weapons reports from federal website. They did not want the American people of the world to know the totality of weapons and the type of weapons that they surrendered to these bloodthirsty terrorists. Here's something else we learned this week. In secret text messages, U.S. military officials lamented leaving Americans behind in Kabul, although we don't hear that being really brought out by the mainstream media. Another report that came out, at least 27 California school students, including a three-year-old boy, are still stranded in Afghanistan. They were abandoned there. This is another report. Hundreds of U.S.-funded journalists were left behind. Here's another report. When do the Taliban get nukes to achieve their worldwide caliphate? That's a question being raised. So let's get into this. The Biden presidency, as I've already said, is already a total disaster. And you know what? It's all 100% Joe Biden's fault. Now, he has become a master at pointing a finger, trying to blame his incompetency on actions of former President Donald Trump, especially this last week or so. Donald Trump has not been the president for going on 9 months. 9 months. Joe, you've had the reign. The first 7 months of the Biden presidency have been nothing but fraught with crises. First, it was the coronavirus pandemic and the vaccine rollout that they were coming out with. Then it was the border crisis. And then it's been the economy. And now Afghanistan, where the Taliban are now reportedly hanging people by the neck from U.S.-supplied Black Hawk helicopters. And the U.S. withdrawal has left behind hundreds of Americans and perhaps thousands of green card holders in what now accounts to the largest hostage crisis in American history. The administration is stumbling from one disaster to the next with no end in sight. And as I mentioned, public opinion has plummeted on nearly every major issue. In each case, the disaster has been entirely 100% of the Biden administration's own making. Events are not overtaking Biden. Biden's rank incompetence is. Just look at the disaster we have in front of us. I hope he doesn't somehow find a way of screwing up our response to the hurricane disaster that went through New Orleans and on up into New York this week. Now, if you took a look at the events unfolding in Afghanistan, where the Taliban control about 83, it's different reports, it's over $80 billion worth of U.S. military equipment. They are by far the most dramatic and disturbing display of incompetency and outright horrible policy from Biden, which anybody in modern times could even begin to get a grasp of. I mean, this looks like the Napoleon Waterloo debacle, kids play. It looks like the Nazi attempts to conquer Russia look like a board game. This is an absolute 100% surrender of a war that had, for all intents and purposes, been under control. A surrender that didn't take very long. Now, as soon as Biden entered office, he decided to do, here's the game plan. Any policy that Donald Trump had, I will reverse it 180%. That was the game plan of the puppet masters that they put Bo Biden out to accomplish. So he comes in, he reverses the illegal immigration policies. That immediately resulted in a floodgate at the border. That was all under control down there at the border. The illegals are being kept on the Mexican side of the border, and they had to apply for entry into the United States on humanitarian issues, and it was on the other side of the border. Now, it's all on this side of the border. That's Joe Biden. The results are predictable. A 20-year record surge in illegal border crossing that continues to worsen by the month. So each month it gets worse on the border. Corporate media has largely stopped covering the border crisis, but July was the worst month for illegal immigration since March of 2000. Since March of 2000, 21 years ago. We're on track to arrest more than 1.6 million people at the southwest border this year, more than we ever have before. The historic migrant surge wasn't inevitable. It was a result directly of the Biden policies. And then they played out in a predictable manner. The same goes for the administration's COVID-19 response. Biden campaigned on having a plan to shut down the virus and end the pandemic. We heard about it. He accused Trump of being incompetent, but Joe was the responsible adult in the room, and he had a plan. But so far, there seems to be no plan at all, or even a coordinated and consistent message from the White House. Contradictory and ever-shifting policies and recommendations on everything from school closures to masks and vaccine mandates have shown confusion and mistrust among Americans desperate to get back to work and their children in school. So he says one thing one day, another thing another day. It's dropped in the laps of the governors because they didn't know what the federal response is going to be. And we're in chaos, all because of Joe Biden's inability to put together a comprehensive, coordinated United States policy in addressing the virus. Now, meanwhile, this pandemic seems to be getting worse, not better. Biden's Centers for Disease Control has become lawless. Yes, lawless. It attempted to impose an unconstitutional eviction moratorium on landlords. Now, landlords have already been through the Center for Disease Control moratorium on rent evictions because they were using the COVID-19 as a emergency situation, but the courts told them, listen, going forward, this is going to have to be a legislative response. You are not going to be able to continue a rent moratorium based upon your COVID-19 pandemic. You have to come up with a constitutional answer for this. And they didn't do it. So instead of doing that, Joe Biden and his administration that control this Center for Disease Control said, no, we're just going to go ahead and declare a federal moratorium anyway. Well, the Supreme Court had to take their busy calendar and move this item onto it and address it, and they turned it away. Now we're seeing more responses chaotically around the country. Well, different states and towns are saying, well, we're going to go ahead and allow people to rent people's houses, and the landlords can't collect the rent. So you know what this is going to do, or could do, I should say. I can't say anything will do, not the way the United States is this day and age. We're going to end up with massive civil lawsuits against the government, state, local, because the Supreme Court's already spoken out on this issue, deeming it unconstitutional to have a non-legislative approach to the rental moratorium. So whoever orders these moratoriums and their governments and their insurance carriers, whoever's governor, are going to be held liable to pay these people the lost rent and damages. Or could be, I should say. You see, again, I can't say anything anymore because we're living completely down the rabbit hole right now. This radio show is adequately labeled A Journey Down the Rabbit Hole. We are right now, America, world, with the Joe Biden administration, we are permanently down the rabbit hole until somehow we can crawl back out of it. Nothing that seems normal will ever be normal. Everything that you can expect, the unexpected will take place. It's just an absolute amazing how one man coming into office and replacing another man can cause so much chaos and so much harm to our nation in a mere 7 months. It's amazing what has taken place here. And it shouldn't surprise anybody that Biden's polls now have just dropped off the face of the earth. Now, getting back over to the Afghanistan disaster, our defeat is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. It's our total defeat and disastrous withdrawal in Afghanistan after 20 years of war and nation building closes out a chapter on post 9/11 America, and it opens up a brand new one. What comes next is to some extent uncertain. But you don't need to be a grand strategist to see the broad outlines of what already is taking place. You're seeing the chaos in Afghanistan play out. You're seeing what's happening to the military and the morale. You see what's happening with the military generals and admirals. I mean, they're leading an army, strategizing, using their decades of experience, only to be thwarted by a nincompoop, a complete nincompoop, who's the commander-in-chief. Now, first and most obvious, Afghanistan will revert to what? It's going to revert to being a terrorist haven, like it was before. And there's nothing going to stop it, except this terrorist haven will be the most armed, well-equipped terrorist haven to ever exist on the planet Earth. The Taliban right now are one of the most heavily armed armies in the world with all those weapons and equipment. The Taliban, the bloodthirsty caliphate reaching a Taliban, have one of the strongest armies in the world right now. Okay, let's go on here. The Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, by its very nature, will not keep to itself the erstwhile assurances of Taliban officials, notwithstanding. Every committed jihadist on the earth who can get to Afghanistan is headed that way now or making plans to do so, because this is their Mecca. This is their center for Muslim control of the world. This is their Disneyland right now that Joe Biden gave them, handed to them on a platter. How many of you really believe that as weeks go forward that the Taliban are going to continue to uphold the agreements that they made with Joe Biden and his administration? Our military leaders have admitted that this is a complete disaster. 2 weeks ago, well before the suicide bombing attack that took lives of the 13 American soldiers and scores of Afghans, United States government Pentagon told U.S. senators that the collapse of the Afghan government and the Taliban takeover means terrorist groups will in fact reconstitute in Afghanistan more quickly than was previously estimated. On August the 15th, a phone call with the top Biden officials and senators from both parties, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said the previous assessment back in June was that there was a medium risk the terrorist groups would form in Afghanistan within 2 years of the U.S. withdrawal. Asked if he believed that timeline would have to be moved up in light of the recent events, Miley responded, yes. So their June assessment had already fallen apart. In practical terms, this means in the years to come, excuse me, the smoke is making me sneeze in the studio here. Sorry about that. Okay, said the previous assessment back in June was that there was a medium risk. Okay, I've already said. In practical terms, this means in the years to come, we're almost certainly going to see a resurgence of Islamist terrorism worldwide, and highly likely another attack on American soil. Thank you, Joe Biden. Why? Because for al-Qaeda and for jihadists of the world over, the Taliban's victory in Afghanistan is a vindication of the 9/11, a strategic victory. After 20 hard years, they won and we lost. So they attacked our World Trade Center. They killed over 3,000 Americans. They sucked us into a war in Afghanistan where nobody's won. The Russians left with their tail between their legs. We got in there. We spent $5 trillion American dollars on this 20-year-plus war of terrorism, and we lost. What do we have to show for all of the war on terrorism? Well, you could say, well, Dwight, we haven't had any attacks on American soil for 20 years. Okay. What would have happened, though, had we had an orderly handover of Afghanistan and gotten all of our Americans out and saved our reputation worldwide, not been viewed a complete failure? What would we have gained then? Right now, we're not gaining anything. We are the laughingstock of the world. In fact, people are aghast. They cannot believe we're where we're at. So we'll be right back after the break.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West. Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio and learn what's really going down.
The Little Honey on the Lone Highway. Left me for another on the Lone Highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the Lone Highway.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here, and again, I urge you to donate generously to Revolution Radio by hitting the donate button at freedomslips.com and help us keep this ship afloat. Okay, going on here, you know, Osama bin Laden, you know, he's been dead for a number of years now, but he predicted that something like what's going on right now would happen not long after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. Bin Laden issued a letter to the American people in which he declared that, like the Soviet invasion of an earlier generation, the Americans would eventually leave in defeat. He predicted it. It's one of the reasons why he set up shop in Afghanistan. If the Americans refuse to listen to our advice and the goodness, guidance, and righteousness that we call them to, then be aware that you will lose this crusade, Bush began, just like the other previous crusades in which you were humiliated by the hands of the Mujahideen, fleeing to your home in great silence and disgrace. If the Americans do not respond, then their fate will be that of the Soviets who fled from Afghanistan to deal with their military defeat, political breakup, ideological downfall, and economic bankruptcy. Does those things sound similar to what we are fearing right now? Economic bankruptcy, the amount of trillions upon trillions of dollars that this war against these radicals has caused us, an ideological downfall, a political breakup, a military defeat? Well, of course it does. We are at the brink of every one of those items right there because we have focused on an unwinnable situation for 20 years, and it was going to take comprehensive, competent leadership and plan to be like a tick trying to remove yourself from the body of a cow or a wolf or something in the wild while remaining intact. And we failed. Osama bin Laden, and those who planned 9/11, they recognized that the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan for the strategic error it was proven to be. All of them understood the collapse of the Soviet Union as a direct consequence of the USSR's failed invasion and occupation of Afghanistan, and credited the Mujahideen with the collapse of the communist superpower. It might take time, they thought, but the same would happen in the United States, should it be foolish enough and arrogant enough to invade and occupy the country. And we were. For all that, a Soviet-style collapse of the U.S. won't happen, but our humiliation in Afghanistan will have global reverberations. The military power of the United States was the last institution, of public life Americans really trusted. And it was the foundation of other nations' trust in us or fear of us. And that has dissipated. Our adversaries will react accordingly. China, above all, will understand our defeat in Afghanistan as the end of the American deterrence and a chance to press its invasion agenda in Taiwan and the South China Sea. Moscow and Tehran will come to similar conclusions, as will Pyongyang in North Korea. Indeed, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal reported that North Korea has resumed operation of its plutonium-producing reactor at Yongbyon, which had been inactive since December 2018 during the Trump administration. The operation of the reactor has apparently coincided with the signs that North Korea has also began to separate plutonium from spent fuel previously removed from the reactor. For our allies, the end of the American deterrence will likely prompt a strategic recalibration. Why would Taiwan, which this week issued a dire warning that China's armed forces could paralyze Taiwan's defenses, put its face in an alliance with the United States? Why would the Ukraine or Poland? As we learn more in the coming weeks and months about the fecklessness of and deceit of the Biden administration, Afghanistan's withdrawal, including Biden's appalling conversation with then-President Ashraf Ghani, urging him to, quote, project a different picture of the fight against the Taliban. Quote, whether it is true or not, every nation in the world would take note of what our promises are worth. That Biden was in black and white asking the Afghanistan president to lie about the situation. So what was the response by the Afghan president? The second day of the Taliban takeover of the country, he fled the country with $169 million. That was what his response was. Now, some of these developments will take decades to mature, but others will move rapidly. By the end of Biden's term, assuming he's able to see it through, we might well long for the days when all we had to worry about was our humiliation of Afghanistan. We'll certainly come to see the events of the last few weeks in a stark new light as the beginning of a dark chapter in world history, marked above all by the eclipse of American power and influence in an increasingly dangerous world. America has lost its dominance, and frankly, it will never recover it. World powers never recover. You have seen the sunset of American power and might over the last month. Every American, Democrat, Independent, Republican, right now, needs to reassess their own personal security and ability to feed and clothe their family and house their family, because things are going to get very, very ugly going forward. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but actions have consequences. Failed actions have consequences. Failure has consequences. Now, what do the majority of voters think about Joe Biden's botched Afghanistan withdrawal? According to another poll, the Rasmussen poll released 2 days ago on Thursday, or yesterday, Thursday, the survey found that 62% of likely U.S. voters believe Congress should investigate how the United States withdrawal from Afghanistan was handled. 28% are against a congressional investigation, and 10% are not sure. Broken down by political affiliation, 80% of Republicans and 47% of Democrats and 59% of unaffiliated voters think Congress should investigate the withdrawal in which 13 U.S. troops were killed and hundreds of Americans were left behind. Now, with 47% of Democrats, that includes a lot of the far left. President Joe Biden's strongest supporters are most likely to oppose an investigation, according to the poll, who surveyed 1,000 likely U.S. voters between August the 30th and 31st. The margin of error is plus or minus 3%, with a 95% level of confidence among those who polled. Less than a third of voters think the withdrawal was successful, despite Biden calling it an extraordinary success. In contrast to the commander-in-chief's optimism, 65% believe the mission was unsuccessful, including 47% who say it was not at all successful. Democrats are more lenient when it comes to their view of the withdrawal from Afghanistan. 51% say it was at least somewhat successful. Only 15% of Republicans and 25% of the unaffiliated, in other words, the independents, feel the same way. And remember, it's the independents that win election. The White House said Friday that Biden still had confidence in his general and his Secretary of State, Blinken, after their disastrous performance in Afghanistan. On the contrary, more than two-thirds, or 68% of Republicans, believe the U.S. generals and officials involved in planning the withdrawal should be forced to resign, but only 34% of Democrats and 44% of independents agree. Earlier in the evacuation process, the Democrat-led congressional committees vowed to press Biden's administration on what went wrong. For 2 weeks, Republicans called on Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to, quote, launch a bipartisan and bicameral investigation into the Biden administration's failure in the withdrawal of American forces, yet they've done absolutely nothing. So I think what the Democrat response is telling me is that they already know that the buck stops with Joe Biden, and they're going to increasingly try to distance themselves over, well, the next about 14 months from their president, who led them into congressional victory, if you could want to say it, look at it that way. So I'm predicting a complete disaster for the Democrats at the polls a year from this coming November. They're going to lose the House majority. They only hold a 4-vote majority now. They're going to lose their Senate, and they'll probably end up having to replace Joe Biden. They would be better off right now, in my opinion, the Democrats, of coming together with the Republicans and calling forth the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, right, to remove a president who's unfit for duty. The sooner the better. It would be best for the Democrats and best for our nation, but I don't know if they have the willpower to do something like that, because we're facing right now massive spending programs that the far left wants to place on the United States, even after we've spent $5 trillion so far addressing the COVID-19 in just the last less than 2 years. So this is all coming apart at the seams for the Democrats right now. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. So moving on here, some singular items having to do with, you know, this whole show is about Joe Biden because, frankly, But this is reminding me of my Hillary Clinton shows. When Hillary was running for president, that I had on another network. I wanted to talk about other items. I had items today. I wanted to talk about cryptocurrency today. Because, my God, the crypto market is going crazy right now. Bitcoin's back up over $50,000 at the time I came in here. And I'm very heavily involved in crypto. But, you know, I couldn't. Because this, I would felt that I'd be irresponsible by not covering this, even though there may have been other shows. let me say that another way. That there most likely was other shows on the network that covered much of what I'm talking about here. You cannot be down the rabbit hole and ignore what's going on here. Our country is in a crisis like it's never been before since the end of the Revolution War and the end of the Civil War. Those would I'd have to consider two major crises of our nation's history. This one's the third, the Joe Biden crisis. We have the Revolutionary War crisis. We have the Civil War crisis, and now we've got the Joe Biden crisis. Now, you know, the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, these networks have been pro-Democrat, pro-left for a long, long time. But what I was noticing at my daughter's house while I was gone on vacation, and we would catch some of the news programs, especially on Sunday, but during the week too, and just before I left on vacation, even CNN, even the Washington Post, even the Wall Street Journal, even the New York Times, had jumped on the anti-Biden bandwagon. They were asking the tough, tough questions that the administration of Joe Biden had never been asked before. They'd always been coddled. They had shocked looks on their faces. They were mumbling to themselves because the reporters for the far-left liberal media knew that this was a major, major story that could not be ignored. I mean, they already looked at as being nothing but a propaganda machine. This would seal their fate. CNN was already, I mean, there's, let's put it this way. 90% of the YouTube channels I watch have more viewers than CNN or MSNBC on a daily basis. Yeah, YouTube. And many of the sites, I mean, God, they blow away any of the news outlets, all of them. But with the far left sites, you know, the only people watching them seems to be far left members of the Congress. Anyway, so let's see what the Wall Street Journal published. Now, this was Tuesday, a couple days ago, 3 days ago, in an editorial board. Board opinion piece, they calling Joe Biden's defense, President Joe Biden's defense of the Afghanistan withdrawal dishonest, defiant, and accusatory. Let me say it again. Dishonest, defiant, and accusatory. President Biden's, quote, Biden's defiant accusatory defense on Tuesday of his Afghanistan withdrawal and its execution was so dishonest and so lacking in self-reflection or accountability that it was unworthy of the sacrifices Americans have made in that conflict, said the Wall Street Journal. Biden defended the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan in a speech Tuesday, calling it an extraordinary success. After a terrorist bombing killed 13 U.S. service members in Kabul, Biden said the cost to the U.S. would have been greater if the troops had stayed. He declared that he believes he made a wise decision, the New York Times reported. The Wall Street Journal editorial board went on to say that Biden either actually believes that his actions were appropriate, or he is lying and shifting the blame. Neither one is reassuring, about Mr. Biden's character, his judgment, or most ominously, the long 3.5 years left in his presidency. The article also stated that Biden lied about his options. He said that his only choices were full withdrawal or escalation. However, his advisors presented him more moderate alternatives. He was so bent on withdrawal and so quickly that he refused to adjust the military plan even as the Taliban made gains and the CIA warned that the Afghan government was likely to fall. The Wall Street Journal editorial board wrote, "This, my friends, is damning. This is like being called before a court of law and you testifying, as in the case of Biden, and then you having perjury charges filed against you for lying under oath. Because the President of the United States, today he's sworn in, takes a pledge on a Bible. And he has let America down big time. And now the major media outlets like the Wall Street Journal are taking note. They're coming right out. See, they're not remaining silent like they have in the past, where they just let the storms go over. Here's another report. The Biden administration, they've erased Afghan weapons reports from federal websites. The war in Afghanistan has always been a black box, but the Biden administration just made matters worse. According to an admission obtained from the State Department, Biden officials recently directed federal agencies to scrub their websites of official reports detailing the 80-some billion dollars in military equipment and training provided to the Afghan security forces since 2001. The scrubbed audits and reports included detailed accounting of what the U.S. had provided the Afghan forces, even down to the number of night vision devices, hand grenades, Black Hawk helicopters, and armored vehicles. Reports further quantified 208 aircraft and helicopters, 75,000 war vehicles, including 22 Humvees, 50,000 tactical vehicles, and nearly 1,000 mine-resistant vehicles, and 600,000 weapons, including 350,000 M4 and M16 rifles, 60,000 machine guns, and 25,000 grenade launchers, not to mention all of the ammunition to go with these weapons. The State Department admitted to removing the reports, but justified the move as a way to protect Afghan allies, according to the spokesperson. Quote, "The safety of our Afghan contacts is of utmost importance to us. The State Department advised other federal agencies review their web properties for content that highlights cooperation and participation between an Afghan citizen and the USG and USG partner, and remove from public view if it poses a security risk. It's worth noting that the Biden administration had already put these partners at risk when officials provided lists of Afghan nationals and Americans to the Taliban in a misguided attempt to clear them for evacuation. The Taliban, a known terrorist organization with a history of murdering Afghan citizens working amongst U.S. forces, of murdering U.S. forces, of murdering civilian Americans, should never have been entrusted with those men." This is another extreme example of the incompetency of this administration. I mean, it's, you can't even begin to make this stuff up, how bad it is. We withdrew our army, which told the Afghan army, 300,000. Okay, Afghanistan had a 300,000 man, well-equipped to train army. Then they saw their American counterparts abandoning them. They panicked and laid their weapons down and surrendered. 300,000 man army surrendered. Then what do we do? When we were leaving, we never blew up the weapons. Then we gave the list of what Americans and Afghanistan allies were in the country. I mean, you talk about a disaster unfolding. How many of these Afghanistan people are going to get murdered? How many of these Americans are going to be held for ransom? How many heads are going to be cut off on television? They love to cut people's heads off on TV. It's unbelievable, friend. I'll be right back after the break.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener-supported radio, the printing press for freedom, at a time when freedom is needed the most.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Okay, Dwight Lilly back here for the final half hour of today's show. I guess you'd have to call this the amazing Biden. I don't know what to call it. I'll tell you, I don't even have a name for this show today. I was not even going to talk about this. It was so depressing, the Biden administration's failure these last 7 months. But I had to. You know, I'd rather be talking about something else that's I guess more intriguing and less negative and debased than Joe Biden and his administration. But, you know, yeah, like I say at the beginning of this show, in the audio that leads up to it, you know, knowledge is power, ignorance is freedom. Even those out there that are to the left, far left, moderates, Democrats, Republicans, or around the world, whatever your affiliation is along those lines, you have to admit to yourselves for the future of your own lives, your family's lives, and your country, your community, when you have a disaster on your hands, whether it's a natural disaster, you can't run away from an earthquake. You can't avoid a hurricane that's already tearing the roof off your house. And you can't avoid when your country is controlled to the degree governments control countries and communities in this day and age, a incompetent leader. I mean, the amount of damage he could do to you, your wife, your husbands, your significant others, your children, your grandparents, the amount of damage, collateral damage, personal damage that can take place when you have somebody like Joe Biden as president demands that the media be honest about this and report. Now, some years ago, I watched a documentary. I don't know what it was on. And it was on the Army mortuary, which is back east. This is where when men and women, fighting men and women, are brought into Dover Air Force Base. The bodies are flown in to Dover, and then from there they're transported to the mortuary where the remains are cleaned and handed with utmost care and dignity and in preparation for them returning them over to their families of the, you know, the survivors for burial. And it was really a gut-wrenching show to watch as these young men, I didn't see any women, but that's now with the militaries of the world having women and men, it's not only men, but it's women too coming back, their lives lost, their bodies, in many cases, unrecognizable. But anyway, they're handled, all the remains are handled there. And that's what happened with these 13 brave young men and women that were blown up, massacred, killed, whatever, in Afghanistan this past few days. So we got a report now. Now, what they called the families, the parents, wives, husbands of a member of the United States military that has fallen in war, they call it a Gold Star family. They call it, and they you know, it's an honor for the rest of us to pay tribute to those that are Gold Star family, because they lost the ultimate sacrifice, one of their loved ones, at the defense of our country. Now, Jim McCallum and Royce McCallum, the father and sister of late Marine Corps Lance Corporal Riley McCallum, who was one of the 13 U.S. service members killed in the Kabul explosion, said Thursday on Fox News Channel's Hannity that President Joe Biden did not have empathy. That Joe Biden did not have empathy. Now, this is clearly coming out. And one thing, as a bumbling idiot that Joe Biden has proven himself out to be in his near 50 years of public service, I think most people thought, well, the guy does have empathy. He does care. Nobody could be in that position of being a U.S. senator or vice president or the president without caring about other people. Because those are service jobs. You're in the service of your fellow man. Well, it's proving to be just the opposite with Joe Biden. Jim McCallum said, quote, "One of the reasons I choose not to speak with President Biden is everything he has done is completely wrong. We had opportunities to do this the right way, and we absolutely failed miserably as an administration. I can't blame the entire thing on one administration. It goes back. We are 20 years into this, but when it came down to pulling people out and pulling troops out and leaving the country, you couldn't have picked a worse way to go about it." Now, this is from the father of a slain Marine Corps member. Hannity said, quote, "There was the meeting with one particular family member. You decided not to meet with Joe Biden, your family. And he met with a Marine's pregnant widow and described it as a scripted total disregard to the service member's death." Scripted. My God, Joe Biden had to have a scripted event with a pregnant widow. He added, quote, "Tell us about your thoughts." Royce McCallum said, "Yeah, my older sister sat with her, and she ended up having to get up and leave." He didn't even mention Riley, never said their names to any parents, as far as I'm aware. It was he who came in with his story about his son who served. And that is not even remotely the same thing. Biden's son that passed away from cancer served in the military. That's not like an exceptional thing for Joe Biden. That's a normal thing for American families throughout the country. Of course, Joe Biden is in the elite. He never served. His wife never served, so he had a son to serve. And I honor the fact that his son served, and I'm sorry that he died of cancer. But Joe Biden, at an event of the survivors, the Gold Star survivors, with bodies just arriving from the battlefield, he never even mentioned their names. Instead, he took off on a story, spent his time talking about his own son who served. "Your son is still tragic. He died of cancer and is sad, but it's not even close to the same situation," she went on to say. And there was, again, no mention of Riley. "No, I'm sorry for your loss. It was my son died, too. He tapped her on the leg. And she pulled away twice, and he got up and went and talked to another family. A lot of the other families that he talked to, he spoke with a lot longer, but only because they carried on the conversation to really share their thoughts with him. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure it probably would have been a two-minute conversation to each family, mostly about his son. She added, it was more about him. Now, those in attendance were aghast that Joel spent the majority of comments focused on his deceased son or checking his watch. He checked his watch 11 to 13 times, somewhere there. Some say 11, said 13 times, as if he couldn't wait to get out of there. He had better things to do. And he's got these grieving families. The guy has no soul, no empathy for others, she went on to say. Is this amazing? Is there a better reason than this right here that this guy should not be president of the United States? He's self-absorbed, no empathy, no character, stupid, incapable of, well, as former President Obama said, quote, Joe could F up any assignment you gave him. Yes. And the majority of Americans, it's reported, voted for Joe Biden. What does that say about our country? A guy that was hiding during the campaign, they didn't dare put prance this guy out like Trump was going around the country, or even like a normal campaign, because of what type of person he is, how he's deteriorated. But this is not deterioration. This is character flaws. This is self-absorption, is what we're talking about here. This guy is self-absorbed with himself, his own life, his own wants and needs. He's like a little kid, and he's the president of the United States. Now, another thing about Joe Biden. Yeah, he's been a politician his whole life. And politicians lie, just watch their lips. But wait a minute. Have you noticed, listeners, the number of lies? Now, the left always accused Donald Trump of being a liar, and I agree. Donald Trump has a problem telling the truth. But I will attest right now on this radio show that in the 7 months that Joe has been in office, what he says doesn't even remotely resemble what's going on, the truth. It's like you're not even fudging a little bit. You are like you're in some dystopian society, Joe. Here's another one. The Tree of Life Jewish Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, has disputed President Joe Biden's claim of having visited with Jewish leaders following the horrific massacre in October of 2018. And I watched a video of Joe saying this. Known as the deadliest attack in history against American Jews, 11 people were killed nearly 3 years ago when a lone gunman opened fire during the synagogue's Shabbat morning service. The suspect was an admitted and avowed anti-Semite. Following the attack, then President Donald Trump visited the site to pay his respects and personally meet with the synagogue's rabbi, Jeffrey Myers, who said the president exhibited, quote, a warm and personal side unseen by the public. On Thursday, during a virtual address ahead of the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, President Biden claimed he also visited the Tree of Life Synagogue following the attack. a claim that a synagogue now disputes. Quote, I remember spending time at the, you know, going to the, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue, speaking with them, Biden said, as reported by the New York Post. Well, I actually saw him saying it on video, like I just said. However, the synagogue's executive director, Barb Fish, says the visit never happened. Quote, in a phone interview, Fish, executive director, since July of 2019, said firmly that no, Biden didn't visit even before taking office when he had a lower public profile as a former vice president and then Democratic presidential candidate. The White House did not respond to the Post's request for a comment. Last year, on the second anniversary of the attack, Biden said, quote, when anti-Semitism is allowed to fester, it shreds the fabric of our communities and erodes our soul. Question. What kind of public figure, easily fact-checked, would tell such a bold-faced lie? Who would do such a thing? The worst massacre during the Afghanistan surrender that kills 13 of our American servicemen and women, Joe shows no empathy. And the worst mass massacre on our soil of a Jewish tabernacle, Joe lies about attending it. And this is the President of the United States. Why would any world leader believe anything this guy has to say? Why would Americans believe anything this guy has to say? Well, we can ask the voters of Joe Biden why they voted for Joe Biden. I still see their bumper stickers out there. Where's Kamala Harris? Where? Now, Joe disappeared during the campaigns. Kamala, at least campaigned, she was such a horrible candidate. And unlike, she was what for like the first Democrat primary runner to bail out. Had like under 1% approval ratings or whatever. Now she's completely bailed out as vice president, I guess. I mean, where's she at? Still on vacation? You don't see her at any of these events. Now, it was quoted that she said, and this was another hot mic incident, evidently. I didn't hear this one. That, quote, they're not blaming this Afghanistan fiasco on me. Now, that was paraphrased. I don't know exact words, but it's reported that's what she has said. I am not being blamed for what's coming down in Afghanistan. She's like to have to defend herself. Biden already sent her down to the border situation that he totally destroyed. You know, here, Kamala, you go solve the problem that I caused at the border. And she messed that one up. She's like probably looking at this as like, my God, I'm not an old guy like him. What's my future going to be? And all he's going to do is send me around and try to cover up his crap, try to solve the unsolvable, that he's broken, like a fine piece of china. Joe Biden stumbles around and drops it and breaks it, and then tells Kamala, well, here, you go fix that. Glue it back together so nobody knows it's broken. Jesus. Now, here's one that really gets me. Democrat abortion activists cheered on, and the White House either repeats Biden is a practicing Catholic or repeats he is a supporter of abortion rights. Now, what is Joe Biden? He claims to be a Roman Catholic. A practicing Roman Catholic. He's pro-abortion, pro-late-term abortion, because, well, there's areas in the United States, I forget the state, that you can get an abortion right up to 6 months. A baby is 6 months old in the womb and can be murdered, and that's okay with Joe. Now we have this Texas situation where the Texas lawmakers have figured a way around the courts, federal courts, stopping Texans and Texan policy on abortion. Abortions are not popular in Texas other than among women who support abortion. Many women don't support abortions. So the way the new law in Texas reads, it's not the government officials, the police department, or the prosecutors that will enforce a Texas ban on abortions. It will be the residents. I've never heard of a strategy like this before. So here's how it goes. They ended late-term abortions. The first heartbeat detected means that you cannot have an abortion. If you do have an abortion, and or you are one of the people involved in the abortion, you can be sued in civil court by another citizen of Texas and awarded up to $10,000, as I understand. Now, the abortion industry, of which it is up in arms over this, especially since the Supreme Court ruled that they were not going to step in and stop this new legislation from taking effect. Why? Because there's no, when the courts get involved, how it was explained, was when a public official does something to break the law, in this case. In other words, breaking the Constitution. But since it's not a government person, but rather it's a citizen of a state that is civilly suing somebody under a law in a state that allows for a civil lawsuit, then there's been no harm done. There's no threat of harm of preventing. Interesting how this strategy is going to go forward. So on a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court refused to get involved. Now, Joe Biden has basically said that he's turning loose every federal means possible against the state of Texas in order to allow women to get abortions in spite of this new law in Texas. Now, I don't know what he could do, frankly, because the courts have said it needs a legislative solution. And Joe Biden, as president, is not a legislator. And the courts, now people are condemning the court for coming up with a decision, but again, the court is not the legislature. They were never supposed to solve people's problems. They were supposed to rule on law, even though they've legislated. Granted, I've witnessed decisions that look like legislation to me, but in its purest form, the high court's not supposed to legislate, and neither is the president. The president is to sign legislation, if he agrees with it, that it comes forth from the Senate and the House. So Nancy Pelosi has now said that she's going to come up with legislation to grant women this unfettered access to abortions in Texas, and I guess elsewhere. But according to the polls, it may not even pass through her own Democrat-controlled House, what she's proposing, because they only have a 4-vote majority. And there's enough, it sounded like 100% of the Republicans are not going to vote for this thing. And she'll have, because, I mean, this is a hot voting issue. Abortion. So we'll have to see how that comes about. But the question again that I brought up, I thought Joe Biden was a Catholic, a practicing Catholic. Evidently, the Catholic bishops, that they passed a teaching document about whether public figures claim to be Catholic could receive communion while vocally supporting abortion. And I guess some have refused Joe Biden communion. saying, hey, you're not a practicing Catholic. You support abortion. So there's another bit of Joe Biden that not only is his stated religious preference, his faith in God, in question. I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back next Friday. Actually, I'll be back Wednesday for my show on Wednesday. And then next Friday, I'll be right here again on Studio B. Well, have a great weekend.
To Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your...